go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hi, Internet. Happy Thanksgiving, and welcome to episode 85 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Gobble, gobble. Yes, it is Thanksgiving evening when this is being released, so I sincerely hope you scaved through today without spilling gravy on your nice sweater. I am recording this a few days prior to Thanksgiving. It is post midnight here. Am I complaining? No, I'm not. This is what you need, and this is why I'm releasing it on Thanksgiving evening at 7 p.m., because you've left the family, and what you need while you're having that open turkey sandwich that your mommy or your lover or your side piece or your sister or whoever it is that loves you, who makes that sandwich for you, make the sandwich, get it all ready, get a soda pop or a beer or a whiskey and coke, get whatever you drink. Get it all settled, and let's listen to some smut humor that the B-Man gives you. Oh, now that it is Thanksgiving, or, you know, post-Thanksgiving afternoon, you can officially turn on your Christmas lights outside of your house or apartment or wherever it is you live. If it's a hut or under a bridge, you are allowed to do so. That is the rule. You can put up your Christmas decorations pre-Thanksgiving to save time, if time is a crunch for you. But you cannot turn them on until post-Thanksgiving Day. Anybody who puts on their Christmas lights pre-Thanksgiving needs to be deported before all the illegal immigrants are deported. Let's get into a list of everybody who should be deported from the United States. Illegal immigrants? Any illegal immigrant who subscribes to Verbal Graffiti or has listened and liked an episode, they are allowed to stay. Any illegal immigrant who has not, get the fuck out of here. It was glad having you, but we don't want you here anymore. You had your shot. You could have pressed like, subscribe, like, all that BS, but no. You had your shot, so you're gone. No, the gremlins who don't return the cart in the parking lot to the cart stand, gone. Deport them all. People who shop and they take something from one grocery aisle, and then they get like three aisles over and realize, you know what, I don't want this. So they put the turkey stock with the mashed potatoes, or fuck, I don't know, with the cat food, gone. Get the fuck out of here. Every middle child, get the fuck out of the United States. You're a middle child. We don't want you in the United States. You're all evil, demented. There's just something always up the middle child's sleeve. So they got to be gone, especially if it's three. You know, three, top. You know how to count. Who else does the B-Man want to deport from the United States? Every flat-chested babe, gone. We don't want you here in the United States. You're deported before all the illegal immigrants get going. I don't know why I keep mentioning the illegal immigrants. I don't really give a fuck whether they stay or go. Who else? You know, all the porn stars that got too much lip filler, gone. Don't want them here in the United States. Deport their asses. Put them in a raft. Send them to Cuba. We don't want them. There's that duck lip thing. It's or whatever. The quack quack. It's so. You know, you can have the hottest body and make the body language, the moaning. You can even be a good actress. But if those lips, like if you have so much lip injection that the top lip is kind of punching Your the holes of your nostrils, too much. So they got to be gone. Any guy with a crew cut, I don't know, something about a crew cut, it's off-putting to me. So the gentlemen with crew cuts, deported. We don't want you here in the United States. Have your Thanksgiving sandwich, but then get on the boat, go overseas, go over to Europe. You got to go. Not here in the United States. Who else? The librarians, for some reason, the librarians, they haven't gotten a lot of play the last few years. I did want to be a librarian for a short period of my life because I do like silence and quiet areas. But I did realize to become a librarian, you need to get a master's degree, at least here in Connecticut. So if you're getting your master's degree to become a librarian, you're wasting your time. You got to go. You can't be here in the United States anymore. Bye-bye. You're not even allowed to have a flag. Don't take the USA flag. Keep that here. You're not allowed to take that with you. Anybody else? Who? Any suggestions on who we should deport from the United States? Well, way too many people here in the U.S. What do we got? What do we have, like 370 million now? There are a lot of groups. There are a lot of subgroups I want to kick out. Clowns, we got to get rid of them. I actually personally know a clown. Her name is Charity. I don't think she'll mind me saying her name. Love her, like platonically. Great comic. She's funny. Funny as fuck. She is a clown. She asked me. She goes, hey, B-Man, next year, 2025, I am going to put on a show, comedy show, with everybody's going to dress up as a clown and do their act. And then you, the B-Man, I want you to dress up as a mime and do your stand-up comedy. Now, I had to break it to Charity. When she said this, Mr. Perfect, my penis, he dipped and ran away. Because clowns are my number one fear. When I was 7 or 8 years old, maybe I was 6, my parents brought me to a circus. And we were there, in the audience, watching the performance of the circus. And some clown thought it'd be funny to sneak up behind me, tap me on the shoulder. And then when I turned around, when little B-Man turned his cute little head around, he went, boo, boo. And I think he splashed some water on me. And ever since then, I've had a rational fear of clowns, a deadly fear of clowns. I've never watched the movie It. Like 7 or 8 years ago when clowns was, there was kind of this short little period, a few month period where people were dressing up as clowns and they jumping out of the bushes in the highway to scare people. That was the most terrifying 3 months of my life. But anyway, I had to tell Cherry, listen, my hell is, in my mind, hell is me and everybody else is a clown chasing after me. And that's what I have to run from for eternity. So I told Charity, I will do the show because I am a comedy whore and I will do any gig mostly. And I told her, but I'm going to do my set and get out. There will be no hanging after the show because I got to get away from those clowns because that is what hell is. So all the clowns and all the circus, anyone who still works at a circus where they have elephants and torture animals, get the fuck out. We don't want you here in the U.S., the great U.S. of A. Any guy with a pickup truck who's got, the dangling ball sack, gone. For some reason, I have an irrational anger towards people who drive Mazdas. So if you drive a Mazda, gone. Huh? If you don't like U.S. cars, why do we want you here? You get your ass out of here. I think we've had enough of... there is a guy, a gentleman who lives in my neighborhood. He put up his inflatables pre-Thanksgiving, so obviously he's got to get deported. But I was walking a couple of my sister's dog, Daisy, and he was putting up his inflatables. He had his daughter there with him, a cute girl, 7 years old, had a great giggle. But I was talking to the guy. I'd never met him. So he's like, hey, where do you live? I go, oh, yeah, I live around the corner. And we started talking. And I noticed that this gentleman, overweight, he's like Because the reason why I say he's overweight is not to point out his weight. I say that because he's like, oh, yeah, because I do a lot of road running. So I told him, oh, you probably recognize me. I do a lot of road running with my shirt off. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen you. Obviously, you could tell I don't do a lot of road running. And we looked at his belly. And we had a jolly St. Nick type laugh together. But as he was laughing, I noticed he had not just one missing tooth. He might have had half his teeth. So how many teeth does every person have? 26? He probably had at least 10 missing teeth. And the teeth he did have were all crooked. And you would think if you only had half of your teeth, you'd be able to keep them all straight. But no, all his were wildly crooked, out of order. And as he was giggling, and all I could think is, man, this guy with multiple missing teeth is able to be a homeowner. And yet me, having all teeth, am not a homeowner. What does that say about me, the B-man, and what a degenerate I am? I think what it says is, I only have 42 subscribers at Verbal Graffiti, and this project really needs to pop off sometime soon, I'm probably never going to be a homeowner. What can you do? At least I have my sense of humor. Let's keep it going. Okay, this comes from the subreddit. What is it? Okay, XX Fitness. How do I get strong enough to escape if a man is on top of me? I just watched the opening scene of Netflix's Woman of the Hour. Have not seen it. And I realized that despite heavy lifting and fantastic glutes to show for it, please show us a photo next time. I don't think that I could save my own life in this scenario. I'm only 5'1" and 125 pounds. I recognize that I lack certain advantages, but what muscles do I need? What moves do I need to practice to give myself the best shot at survival as possible? Well, this is it's an odd conundrum because you're working out at the gym, or you're at least claim you are. You're putting in all this work and you have these fantastic, beautiful, in shape, firm glutes, which is a bit of a conundrum because the hotter and more firm and more, you know, curvaceous your glutes are, the more odds that there's going to be a guy that wants to get on top of you against your will. So maybe the best thing for you to do is just to eat a lot of potato chips and chocolate and wine and processed food and get as ugly and as potato-y as you can. That way, men won't want to jump on top of you. Obviously, you're not going to do that. See, what was your weight? 5'1", 125 pounds. There's really nothing you can do to stop a guy above board. On a fair fight, 1-1, you versus almost any guy, unless it's Peter Dinklage or what's that guy's name? David Ratcliffe, or what the fuck's his? Ryan Ratcliffe. Unless it's one of those twink little Hollywood boys, like you're going to get your ass kicked. It's just, that's how it is. Like, there's a reason why in MMA and boxing and any fighting league, that there's weight classes. What's his name? Sean O'Malley, electrifying, great fighter, MMA, UFC fighter. But you put him in the octagon with the heavyweight champion, John Jones, he ain't lasting a minute. And that's man versus man because John Jones has like 100 pounds on him and just one elbow, and Sean O'Malley's like the pink in his hair would drop out. Like there's that weight difference you cannot make up, especially when you're 5'1" and 120 pounds. Like, there are very few men in this world. I'm probably one of them that you could beat one-on-one if you're being attacked. I'm not going to attack you. I was just, I'm a tall, slender guy. I don't really know how to fight. So you got physically muscles. There's nothing you can do. But what you can do is your mind. That's what you got to change. You got to change your mindset. Now, what I want you to do, I want you I want you to watch wrestling matches of Ric Flair and Rowdy Rowdy Piper. All right, I want you to go look at old wrestling matches from the 80s and the early 90s of at the time WWF and NWA, and watch matches of everybody. Bobby the Brain Heenan was managing. So you need to become the heel. You got to become. There's kayfabe. If you know anything about wrestling, you have the face and the heel. The heel is the bad guy. That's where you got to turn your mind into. You have to become the ultimate heel. You got to watch those matches of Ric Flair. Woo! And you got to take all the tactics he uses in those matches and use those tactics if a man tries to force himself on you against your will. And I'm talking you got to learn all the heel moves. Eye poke. You got to eye gouge. You got to punch him in the nuts. You got to knee him in the groin. You got to step on his toe. You got to grab his fingers and break his fingers. You got to choke him. You got to use foreign objects, right? You got to always wear heels. That way you can take him out and jab him in his eyes with it. You have to have floss in your bag so that way you can choke him with it. You got to go Mankind, mandible claw. Just take your fingers and shove it down his throat and rip out his intestines or whatever is down there. His esophagus, rip it out. Like, a fair fight, you are not going to win. But if you can turn your mind into Ric Flair and Rowdy Piper and become the ultimate heel, you got a shot at surviving and getting away from this evil guy that might attack you and try to attack your person. That is the only... No, actually, it's not the only way. There's another way, too. My main suggestion, actually, just get a pistol permit. Like, fuck doing the MMA, CrossFit training, whatever you're doing. Get your pistol permit. Get yourself a nice-sized handgun that will fit inside of your Louis Vuitton handbag. That way, when he comes out, you shoot him down. You call 911, self-defense. You're free. And no one in your community will fuck with you because, that's the babe who has a handgun in her Louis Vuitton handbag. Don't touch her. But again, have foreign objects on you at all time, like the ultimate heel that you're going to be. So have candlesticks, have mace, pepper spray, have nunchucks, Chinese stars, a pocket knife, have sharp objects, have pens and keys, and just things where you can stab the guy. Like, you are the main heel in this organization, and this organization is you, and that's what you got to do. And really, you're not going to win a fight, so you got to fight dirty. You got to be the dirtiest fighter in the game. You got to go for the eyes. You got to go for the nose. You got to go for the groin. And you got to go for the extremities, the fingers. Like, you just got to give him instant pain for a moment so that you can run away. And always have a rape kit on you, maybe even a body cam. Just in case, because you don't want to shower afterwards. You want to go right, take the kit, go to the police. You know what to do. You know all the safety precautions. And what else? Is there anything? No, I think that's it. All right, let's go look at some photos. Once more, I want to give a sincere happy Thanksgiving for me, the B-Man, Brian Glass, to all of you viewers of Verbal Graffiti. And thank you for the support. Thank you for watching and listening. I know many of you want to go watch The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, but we got to watch episode 85 of Verbal Graffiti first. And I thank you again for all of that. Thanksgiving night. Now, I created a theory that I call the Thanksgiving theory. And it's all due to what happens on Thanksgiving, or shall I say, does not happen on Thanksgiving. See, I have this theory, And I have no way of proving this. It just goes from what I've seen on Thanksgiving Day into the evening with the open turkey sandwich and the gravy and the stuffing. I am a believer that Thanksgiving night is the night with the least amount of sex that's had in this country. Because you're stuffed, you're full, you're unbuttoning your pants, you're bloated, you got all that turkey stuff that makes you tired. You've been day drinking with the wine and the Busch Lights, and nobody wants to get down and dirty on Thanksgiving night. And that's why I have this dating theory I call the Thanksgiving theory. And it goes like this: do not go out to dinner on a first date. Because if I go out on a date, I want to fuck. And if you feel a lady or if you're gay or lesbian, you fill your date, whoever it may be, with a meal. See, it's a lobster, the steak, you have the appetizer, the fried calamari, maybe you have some creme brulee for dessert. And you're just stuffed. Like the last thing that your date is she's not going to feel sexy. She's going to feel full, so you might feel loved. But she's not going to feel sexy with all that food in her belly. So she's not going to want to sleep with you. So that's why I call it the Thanksgiving theory. Never go out to dinner on a first date or a first few dates where you have yet to see each other naked. That is my theory. I stand by it. And I suggest all of you start living by it. So if you're single or you're cheating on your spouse with a mistress or a mistress-to-be, do not follow the Thanksgiving theory and do not go out to dinner on our first date. And again, this is Thanksgiving evening. Since none of you are fucking, you're probably watching me, the B-Man, on episode 85, segment 2. So again, thank you. And while you're full and not having sex, let's get into another thing I found on Reddit. Comes from, this subreddit is Natty or Juice. Why do steroid users love to talk about how steroids barely do anything and it's just all hard work? I'm on testosterone myself, TRT, and even just this gives a giant advantage. Yes, I'm sure in the top 0.01% of enhanced lifters, hard work and dedication is more important than drugs, but for a recreational steroid user, the idea that steroids don't do anything special is ridiculous. The most ridiculous statement I heard was 99% of my physique is attained through diet and training, and steroids are just the icing on the cake, the best part of the cake. Just look at someone like Togi. Do not know who that is. He does drugs, drinks, gambles, goes days without sleep, and has an incredible physique. Sounds like a fun guy. You can live a shit lifestyle, train like an idiot, eat like shit, and get crazy gains so long as you're taking the right stuff. Maybe I should. Another thing they love to do is greatly downplay their usage. They say some shit like they're on TRT, but it's really just 250 milligrams of test and a bunch of other crap like either MAST, Anavar, DECA, or whatever. Again, don't know who Togi is, don't know what any of those supplements are. I'm not part of the gym culture. I have been in the past, but not in more recent years, so I'm talking out of my ass here. But that's what we do here, Verbal Graffiti. See, everybody, the reason why they don't want to claim these gym bro influencers who are doing TRT, or you tell us they are doing TRT, the reason why they don't want to admit to taking these substances is because every salesperson needs a pitch. And if these gym bros admit to doing TRT, they have no pitch to sell to their clients, and their clients being the social media followers. See, what if you're a gym bro who's on all the gear, you're on all the gear What do you want them to do? Like to put up an Instagram reel or a TikTok of the of her like shoving a big syringe in her ass, in her butt cheek twice a week? Like if a gym bro or gym gal does that, she's going to lose her entire following. She'll go from like 5 million followers to 500 followers within a month. Like once us suckers, the gullible suckers on social media see that, you're just injecting something into your butt cheek. That's all you got to do. Why am I following you? That's why they don't do it. You see, what you got to realize is there are some industries where keeping secrets is for the best. This is one of them. If you're there's a Guido geared out to the gills, you want to keep that a secret and let all the suckers think that it's the lat pull downs that are making the gains in your chest and your back and your shoulders and your deltas or whatever the fuck it is. And honestly, they probably see there is this thing. The school of George Costanza, it's not a lie if you believe it. See, a lot of, that's also another factor. A lot of these geared out, yoked guys who are walking around like this in the gym, starting fights with people, filming themselves, they've probably convinced themselves that those lat pull downs are why they're making those gains and not the illegal substances that they're injecting into their butt, those glutes of theirs, those muscular glutes of theirs. But going back to my previous statement, like there are certain arenas where it's better for the secrets to remain secrets. Take magic, for example. Like magicians don't really exist anymore because once the magicians started ratting each other out, there was no magician who could just pull a nickel behind his grandfather's ear and make a living doing so. Like magic, you really can't make money being a magician anymore. Like even the pickup artists stop picking up floozies at the nightclub with magic tricks. Like that's not a thing anymore, or at least I don't think it is a thing. Another industry that's where the secrets being exposed has kind of ruined everything is wrestling. I'm a big fan of wrestling. I got to say, once the Undertaker broke kayfabe and started going on podcasts and telling backstage stories of what happens behind the gorilla position and giving all the inside wrestling tricks and disputes between people, it was a wrap. Like, I can't believe kayfabe and who's a face and a heel now. Like, if you're over the age of 10, that doesn't exist because all the secrets, all these wrestling podcasts and social media accounts, like, there's no more kayfabe. So wrestling is not as enjoyable as when you believe the wrestlers actually hate each other. So, and the same thing, I think, again, as an outsider looking in, I gotta imagine it's the same thing going on with these geared out gearheads who are doing, going into the locker room of the gym, of Gold's Gym, and just jabbing their butt cheeks. Again, they're trying to keep it secret so that they could keep the income coming in at the end of the month. That's why they're lying to you. That's why. Like, come on, stop being a sucker. You really think David Goggins is running a marathon every day? You don't think he's ever turned the camera off at mile 4 and turned it back on at 26? Stop being so gullible. And why the fuck do you care so much, okay? You admitted that you're on TRT. You know why you're on TRT? Because you want a girlfriend. Right, you have a girlfriend. I'm guessing maybe you do. You're doing that so you have better physique. That's why everybody's on TRT. They'll look good at the gym. They'll look good because we're narcissistic. We want to look good. So don't stop hating on people who are lying about how they're getting their gains at the gym. Just keep your keep your eyes down, keep your earbuds in, keep doing those lap pull downs, and focus on your on yourself, and stop trying to rat everyone else at the gym who is, you know, on the juice or whatever the fuck the slang term is for steroids today. Also, the B-Man, I'm a bit aggravated with sports media. Take yourself, for example, here. This poster, he goes to the gym. Let's say he's a nobody. Yeah, no name. Sorry, not nobody, but he's a no-name guy. Gold Gym, they're all on the gear, they're all on the juice. And why are they doing it? Just to look good in front of the other guys, the other studs, the other chads at the gym, and maybe they get some strange poon on the weekend. And that's why they're on the gear. But there is this thing, it's always bothered me with sports media. And again, I am pro drugs. Do whatever you can. If it makes your head turn into a water balloon or a watermelon, go for it. Go for it. You live once. Take all the drugs you can while you're here. But if you're, you know, sports media, for some reason, they don't even cover steroids or TRT or HGH anymore. And once, I don't know, who was the last guy? Maybe Alex Rodriguez. Once he got caught for doing the gear, there seems to be this kumbaya, like nobody wants to admit that there are still guys in the major sports doing drugs, performance-enhancing drugs. Take this, for example. 20 years ago, baseball teams, there might be a starting pitch. Each team might have one starting pitcher and one reliever that could hit 98 miles per hour on the gun. And now today, there's probably, each team probably has like four or five guys who throw 99 on the gun that even like the most hardcore baseball fan can't name, because it's just some no-name reliever who could throw 99 heat. And how does that happen? How is that happen? It's because the pitchers have found some type of drug that does not get spotted on the drug test. That's the only, it's not some magic guru pitching coach that's found some new arm slot angle. No, it's the gear. It's some drug. And for you to come at me and say, well, they're not bigger. They're not, like, mass-wise, they're not bigger. Well, go look at the Tour de France. Those guys are a bunch of twigs, and they're all geared up. So drugs is not only mass. I'm just convinced that major league pitchers, probably all the way down to high school, have figured out some new drug that allows them to throw the ball faster than they ever have before. And it goes for every sport. Like these guys at the gym. You're a guy at the gym. All the guys, all the gym bros are doing the gear. And you're doing it for no money. And these major league sports where millions of dollars are on the line, yeah, you bet your ass they're all on the drugs. Probably at least 80% of them are on the drugs. So that really has nothing to do with your post, but it's just something I've always thought. Is like, yeah, major league baseball, football, basketball, drugs are candy in those leagues. Moving along. We're going to continue reading The Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. Again, we read two pages every episode. We are on the top of page 37. Please read along if you'd like. Smiling at her with infinite tenderness, he began to remove his shirt, slipping it over his head and revealing his tightly muscled upper torso with a thick tangle of curling chest hair. As he removed his silver medallion, Pamela's drug-fogged eyes eagerly drank every naked inch of his tanned, lithe torso. Deftly, he took off one polished boot, then the other, and placed them nearby, while the young housewife watched him, completely fascinated and unconsciously growing more and more aroused. Love, Pamela, he whispered, love. Slowly, he unhooked the top of his trousers and began lowering them. Pamela gasped when she realized that he wore no underwear, for as he eased the tight pants down his slim hips, his penis and balls were completely exposed to her gaze. His penis was unusually large and thick and swung heavily between his legs as he removed his trousers. His hairy balls beneath bounced freely. As the petite raven-haired housewife realized that this strange man was now standing totally naked in front of her, she suddenly panicked, rising from the chair and nearly spilling her wine. What's going on? She asked in a blurred voice. Are you afraid again? He shouted suddenly. Afraid? You must not be afraid of the human body. If you are too timid to look at it, then leave. Leave now and remain the frightened little girl you really want to be. Go on. Oh, no. Please, she cried. Please. I'm sorry. I want to go through with this. Believe, I'll do whatever you say. He stared at her fiercely for a moment, then relaxed into a smile. I believe what you say, he said. Stay then and do as I tell you. Yes. Yes. She found herself almost hypnotically unable to resist him. Put your glass down, he said. Obediently, Pamela did so. Then she turned to him. He began to run his hands over his entire lithe, hard body in an almost obscene manner, and Pamela thought she detected a devilish glint in his eyes. Then he grasped his enormous cock with his hands and began caressing it, stroking it. Every part of the human body is beautiful, Pamela. Every part. You must learn to love the body. Love it. I want to, she said in a tiny voice. Show me how. There was a moment's silence. The doctor stood erect so that he looked like a bronze naked god standing in the bizarre colored light of a huge room. Now, you must take off your clothes also and lie back on the couch. Go suck a fat one.